Good evening, church.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this evening hour. We thank you that we can come before your throne of grace by the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, blessed Lord, because you love us and you have proven that love to us. Yes, you are God Almighty. And yet you are our loving Heavenly Father, and you have shown us your love through your Son. And we thank you, blessed Lord Jesus, for leaving glory. Yes, you loved us. You left glory for us. You came. You took upon yourself a human body, sinless and perfect. And in your sinless body, you took our sin, our shame. You took our guilt. You took our pain, our sorrows, and our sicknesses. And you were wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Yes, the punishment of our peace was laid on you. And by your wounds we have been healed. We thank you, blessed Lord, that love that you have for us is eternal. For you have sealed us by your Spirit unto the day of redemption. And we thank you that our bodies are your temple, your treasure, tools in your hands, weapons for your use. And we thank you for coming to dwell in us by your Spirit. And so this evening, we ask, O Lord, even as we look into the pages of your word, that you would open our eyes, that we would perceive wonderful truths out of your holy law. Lord, you alone can help us to understand your word, to grasp your word. So open our eyes, we pray, that we may perceive wonderful truths out of your holy law. And we ask, O God, that you would write, O Lord, inscribe your word upon our minds and upon our hearts. Transform us from within. Make us more and more like your Son. O come, Holy Spirit, do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we began our study last Sunday, our study on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we also went through 7 New Testament references to the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We then saw when exactly the Holy Spirit came in the disciples when they were born again in John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22. We also saw when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, meaning when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Then we saw the one common outward manifestation at 3 occasions where people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit: at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, at the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, and then the first converts at Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. And on all of these occasions, the scripture explicitly states that those who received the baptism in the Spirit spoke with tongues, or they spoke with other tongues. These are the 2 phrases used: spoke with tongues or spoke with other tongues. At Ephesus, the new converts not only spoke in tongues, but they also prophesied. However, this manifestation of prophesying is not mentioned as having taken place either on the day of Pentecost or in the house of Cornelius. So the only manifestation that is common to all these 3 occasions is that those who received the experience of baptism in the Holy Spirit spoke with tongues. Peter and the other Jews, who already knew what had taken place on the day of Pentecost, they had actually gone to the house of Cornelius very reluctantly, against their own inclinations, but under the compulsion of the Holy Spirit, directed by God. At that time, the Jewish believers did not realize that the gospel was for the Gentiles, or that the Gentiles would be saved and become Christians. They did not know that. However, the moment Peter and the other Jews heard the Gentiles speak with tongues, they immediately understood, and they acknowledged that these Gentiles had received the Holy Spirit just as fully as the Jews themselves on the day of Pentecost. They never asked for any additional evidence. The scripture says that they were astonished because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Acts 10 verses 45 and 46. So, for Peter and the other Jews, the only sufficient evidence that the Gentiles had received the Holy Spirit was that they spoke with tongues. Then in Acts chapter 11, Peter is called to account because he had gone to the Gentiles. He is called by the other leaders, the Jewish leaders who had, of course, Jewish leaders who had become Christians. They called him to account why he had gone to the Gentiles to preach. And in his own defense, what does Peter say? Peter explained what took place in the house of Cornelius. In Acts 11 verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. So Peter directly compares the experience which the household of Cornelius received with that which the disciples received on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. He says, as upon us at the beginning. But in the house of Cornelius, there is no mention of a mighty rushing wind or tongues of fire. The one sufficient manifestation which set the divine seal upon the experience of Cornelius and his household was that they spoke with tongues. From this we conclude that the manifestation of speaking with tongues as the Holy Spirit gives utterance, that is the accepted New Testament evidence that a person has received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So, in confirmation of this conclusion, last time we came to these following statements. Number one, this was the evidence that the apostles themselves received in their own experience. Speaking in tongues. This was the evidence which the apostles accepted in the experience of others. Number three, the apostles never asked for any other alternative evidence. We also dealt with the objections raised against this conclusion that the manifestation of speaking with tongues is the accepted New Testament evidence that a person has received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then last time we summed up the differences between the two experiences of receiving the Holy Spirit on Resurrection Sunday and on Pentecost Sunday. On Resurrection Sunday, it was the resurrected Christ. It was the in-breathed Spirit. They were born again. And the result, new birth, new life. But on the day of Pentecost Sunday, it was the ascended Christ. It was the outpoured Holy Spirit. And the result was power. The experience of the apostles demonstrates that salvation or the new birth and the baptism in the Holy Spirit are therefore two distinct, separate experiences. The apostles received the first of these experiences on Resurrection Sunday. The second they received 7 weeks later on Pentecost Sunday. We also said that further study in the book of Acts very clearly discloses that the two experiences are normally separate. Then we saw furthermore, from Pentecost Sunday onwards, the term to receive the Holy Spirit is applied always and only to the second experience, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It is never again used to describe the new birth. And we understood why the Pentecostals keep asking people, have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Although many of them don't know why they ask that question. Now, let's look at the three occasions subsequent to Pentecost, subsequent to Acts chapter 2, where the scripture describes what took place when the people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. First, in Samaria. These were in Samaria, in Ephesus. And then we see the household of Cornelius, the ministry of Philip in Samaria. First we see in Acts 8 verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Acts chapter 8 verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Then what happened? Acts 8 verse 12. But when they believed Philip, As he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So these people had now heard the truth about Christ, which Philip preached to them. They had believed, they had been baptized. And it will be very unreasonable, it will be unscriptural to deny that these people were saved. Remember that when Christ himself commissioned his disciples to preach the gospel, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Mark chapter 16 verses 15 to 16. So the people of Samaria, they had heard the gospel preached, they had believed, and they were baptized. Therefore we know, on the authority of the words of Christ himself, that they were saved. Yet the same people, up to this time, had not received the Holy Spirit. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. He had fallen upon none of them. They were saved, but he had fallen upon none of them. That means they had received the Holy Spirit like it happened on Resurrection Sunday to the disciples, but they hadn't received the baptism in the Holy Spirit as it happened on the day of Pentecost. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8 verses 14 to 17. So we see that the people of Samaria received salvation. They received salvation through the ministry of Philip. And they received the Holy Spirit. In other words, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit through the ministry of Peter and John. Their receiving the Holy Spirit was a separate experience. That's why we said from then on it's called baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is called receiving the Holy Spirit. So they received the Holy Spirit. Their receiving the Holy Spirit was a separate experience after their receiving salvation. Here then is the second scriptural example, which indicates it is possible for people to have become genuine Christians but not yet to have received the Holy Spirit in the sense in which the phrase is used from Pentecost onwards, meaning the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's interesting to note that in the passage in Acts chapter 8, we find two different forms of speech that are used. One speaks of receiving the Holy Spirit and the other speaks of the Holy Spirit falling upon them. But the context makes it clear that these are not two different experiences, but two different aspects of one and the same experience. Then, when the Apostle Paul came to Ephesus, we read this in Acts chapter 19. He came to Ephesus and he met there certain people described as disciples. They were described as disciples. And the first question that Paul asked them is, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Acts 19 verses 1 and 2. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Apparently, the Apostle Paul had been given the impression that these people were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, if they were not Christians at all, there could have been no question of their having received the Holy Spirit, since receiving the Holy Spirit happens only through faith in Christ. But through further questioning, what happens? Paul discovers that they were not disciples of Christ at all, but only disciples of John the Baptist. So what does he do? He preaches to them the full gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Acts chapter 19 verses 3 and 4. So one fact emerges clearly from this incident. Obviously, if people always receive the Holy Spirit automatically as an immediate consequence of believing in Christ, it would be illogical, it would be foolish for Paul to ask the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? The mere fact that Paul asked this question makes it clear that he recognized the possibility of people having become disciples or believers in Christ without having received the Holy Spirit, meaning baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this is confirmed by the record of events that occurred after Paul had explained the gospel of Christ to these people. What happened? When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 19 verse 5. These people had now heard and believed the gospel and they were baptized, as we have already shown in connection with the people in Samaria, on the authority of Christ's own words. People who have fulfilled the two conditions of believing and being baptized are thereby saved. Nevertheless, these people in Ephesus, just like those in Samaria, had not received the Holy Spirit, meaning they were not yet baptized in the Holy Spirit. In Ephesus, just as in Samaria, this came as a separate and subsequent experience. Because we read in Acts 19 verse 6, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Here then is the third scriptural example which indicates that it is possible for people to have been converted to Christ but not yet to have received the Holy Spirit, meaning baptized in the Holy Spirit. This conclusion drawn from the book of Acts is further confirmed when Paul writes to the Ephesians in his epistle to the Ephesians. Now we must bear in mind that this group of disciples to whom Paul ministered in Ephesus, they were among the Ephesian Christians to whom later he writes this epistle. And so in his letter, Paul reminds these people of the successive stages in which they were originally converted and received the Holy Spirit. Speaking of their coming to believe in Christ, what does Paul say? Paul says in Ephesians 1 verse 13, in him you also trusted after you received the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Here Paul indicates that there were three separate successive stages in their experience. Number one, they heard the gospel. Number two, they believed in Christ. Number three, they were sealed with the Holy Spirit. They were sealed with the Holy Spirit. This agrees exactly with the historical record in Acts chapter 19, which states that these people first heard the gospel, then they believed and they were baptized. Finally, when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. That means they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So in both accounts alike, in the book of Acts, and also in the letter to the Ephesians, it's very, very clear. It's absolutely clear that the people received the Holy Spirit not simultaneously with conversion, but as a separate and subsequent experience after conversion. Now, for a fourth example of a different kind, we'll now briefly see the sermon that Peter preached. Peter preached in the house of Cornelius. And what happened when he preached that sermon? What were the results? Acts chapter 10 verses 34 to 48. Follow closely as we read. Acts 10 verses 34 to 48. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Now watch carefully. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. The scripture seems to indicate that as soon as Cornelius and his household heard the gospel and put their faith in Christ, they immediately received the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues. However, we must add that although in this instant these two experiences happened together, they still remain two quite distinct experiences. Furthermore, the evidence that Cornelius and his household had received the Holy Spirit was not the fact that they had put their faith in Christ, but the fact that under the impulse of the Holy Spirit, they spoke with tongues. In the account of what happened in the household of Cornelius, the following three phrases are also used. What are the three phrases used to describe the same experience? Number one, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. The gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on them. Then you have the phrase, they received the Holy Spirit. When Peter describes the same event a second time, he uses the following phrases. The Holy Spirit fell upon them. They were baptized with, better translation, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. God gave them the same gift of the Holy Spirit. Now I read to you Peter's description of this event. Acts 11 verses 15 to 17. "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with or in the Holy Spirit.' If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" Earlier, two similar phrases were used concerning the Samaritans. The Holy Spirit had fallen upon none of them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. "For as yet he had fallen upon none of them." He meaning the Holy Spirit. "For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit." So putting these passages together, we actually find a total of five different phrases that are used to describe this one experience. What are the five different phrases? Number one, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Number two, the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on them. Number three, they received the Holy Spirit. Number four, they were baptized with or baptized in the Holy Spirit. Number five, God gave them the same gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now some modern interpreters, they would suggest that these different phrases refer to different experiences. No, that's not in line with the usage of the apostles in the New Testament. According to the apostles, these different phrases all denote one single experience. Although they describe it from different aspects, it is the same thing for a person to receive the Holy Spirit, or to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, or to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, or for the Holy Spirit to fall upon that person, or for the Holy Spirit to be poured out on that person.
So we have now considered four different groups of people portrayed in the New Testament. Number one, the apostles. Number two, the people of Samaria. Number three, the disciples at Ephesus. Number four, Cornelius and his household. Of these four groups, we have seen clearly that the first three, the apostles, the people of Samaria, the disciples at Ephesus, they had all been converted before they received the Holy Spirit. That means they all had the indwelling Spirit, but the Holy Spirit hadn't fallen upon them. They were not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Their receiving the Holy Spirit was a separate, subsequent experience following conversion. There is no other instance recorded apart from Cornelius and his household in which people received the Holy Spirit at the same time they believed in Christ. Apart from the experience in Acts chapter 10, in the household of Cornelius, there's no other passage in Scripture where at the same time those who believed in Christ, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, although they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. The experience of Cornelius and his household is the exception rather than the rule. Does it happen today? Yes, it does happen today, but that's the exception. Normally, people hear the gospel, they believe, they get baptized. Right? They hear the gospel, they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that means they are saved. They have the indwelling Spirit, but they have not yet received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They get baptized, and then what happens? The Holy Spirit falls upon them. When they seek the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon their lives, the Lord Jesus Christ baptizes them in the Holy Spirit. So on the basis of this careful examination of the New Testament record, we can set forth the following conclusions. Number one, it is normal for a Christian to receive the Holy Spirit, meaning baptism in the Holy Spirit, as a separate and subsequent experience following conversion. Number two, even if a person receives the Holy Spirit at conversion, receiving the Holy Spirit, meaning baptism in the Holy Spirit, still remains logically a distinct experience from being converted. Number three, whether a person receives the Holy Spirit at conversion or after conversion, the evidence that the person has received the Holy Spirit, meaning baptism in the Holy Spirit, still remains the same. The person speaks with tongues as the Holy Spirit gives utterance. Number four, the fact that a person has been genuinely converted does not by itself constitute evidence that the person has received the Holy Spirit, meaning baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, this conclusion concerning the relationship between conversion and receiving the Holy Spirit, meaning baptism in the Holy Spirit, has been based mainly, as we saw, as a study in the book of Acts. However, it is in full accord with what Jesus said, with what Jesus taught. In the Gospels, Jesus told his disciples, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Luke chapter 11 verses 9 to 13. Now the example is of a son asking his father for bread, for fish, for an egg. Earthly fathers oblige to such requests from their children. Even evil fathers feed their children. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more God as a heavenly Father is willing to give the Holy Spirit to his believing children if they will ask him. However, a person must first put his faith in Christ to become a child of God and then ask for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So the question is,
Are you truly born again? Are you assured of the fact that the Spirit of God is indwelling you? As a result of this conversion experience, have you been baptized? Have you personally received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Have you asked as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you obeyed Him in the waters of baptism? Have you asked the Lord Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit? And that asking, let me tell you, that asking must be a desperate asking. It must be a desperate asking. And I'll read that to you. Why is it that, you see, just before this passage, you find Jesus giving us, speaking about this persistent asking. And then only He speaks about, you know, the Father who gives the bread and the egg, etc. Just before that, He speaks about persistent asking. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 8. And He said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.'" In other words, I am empty. My house is empty. I don't have food. I need bread. I am in desperate need of bread. Give me bread. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, "Do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it to you." Then Jesus says, "I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." Now it's after this that Jesus speaks in Luke 11 verses 9 to 13 about the father who gives his son bread and fish, egg. And he says, "If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more God as a heavenly father is willing to give the Holy Spirit to his believing children." Yes, to his children, which means believing children, if they will ask. So clearly Jesus is teaching that the Holy Spirit is received, meaning that the baptism in the Holy Spirit takes place when every converted believer in Christ will ask for this baptism. So ask yourself, have I really asked for this baptism of the Holy Spirit? Now, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, believers attempt to do ministry. They attempt to do ministry. And what happens is, you will get burnt out. Because ministry is very demanding. Ministry is extremely demanding. Let me tell you. It's extremely demanding. Last night I was up till 11 o'clock. Ministry. Early morning I had to get up and preach. Ministry. People are sick. Need to pray. Very demanding. Very demanding. So where does the power come from? You try to attempt doing ministry in the strength of the flesh, you'll burn out. And that's why we find many believers today have burnout experiences, because they have not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They're not empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the work that God has called them to do. They've not asked. Therefore, they're not received. Because, you know what does he say? In Acts chapter 1 verse 5, what does he say in Acts chapter 1 verse 5? Please read. Acts 1 verse 5, what does he say? And then you read Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts 1 verse 5. Loudly? Yeah.
"For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit many days from now."
Who's saying that? Who said those words? Jesus. Who is he talking to? His disciples. Were they saved? Huh? Obviously they were saved on Resurrection Sunday. Alright? He breathed on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Then he's telling them now. Now he's telling them, what is he saying? Wait. Alright, for what? To be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then now read Acts 1 verse 8.
But you shall receive power
when the Holy Spirit
has come upon you.
And you shall be witnesses
to me in Jerusalem
and in all Judea,
Samaria,
and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, when can you do that job of witnessing? Only after you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Our problem today is, we want to do witnessing, we want to reach the world for Christ, alright? But we don't wait, we don't ask, we don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you don't receive power. He says, you will receive power. Acts 1:5, you will receive power. Acts 1:8, once again, can you read?
But you shall receive
power. That's Acts 1:8. That's why we must ask for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Otherwise you burn out. You won't be able to do the work that God has called you to do. You know that God wants you to do something, but you need to ask for power. And that power comes when He pours out His Spirit upon you. Otherwise, any attempt of ministry, you will find there are huge limitations, and before you know it, you will collapse. You will collapse. I found so many in the ministry, in these past so many years, having known the Lord and being in the ministry, I've seen so many burnt out experiences. Even missionaries. Burnt out experiences because they're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they want to do ministry, but they can't do ministry because they're doing ministry in the strength of the flesh. You can't do the work of God without the power of God. So, you want to do God's work, you desire to do God's work, ask. Please desperately ask. How should you ask? It's like, you know, when you're drowning in water and you somehow want to get out, you want to be saved. That's the kind of asking that you need to ask. Persistent asking. Because, let me tell you one thing very frankly, God will not entrust His work to anyone who's not serious about what He wants to do. He will not. God will not give you a job to do unless He knows you're serious about doing it. He won't give you a job to do unless He knows you're serious about doing it. So, when He knows that you're really desperately serious about wanting to do the work that He has called you to do, then what will He do? He'll empower you for that work. You will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, falls upon you. You will not be doing the work in your own strength. Let me tell you, I know the difference. Therefore, please ask. Clearly, Jesus is teaching that the Holy Spirit is received, meaning the baptism in the Holy Spirit takes place when every converted believer in Christ will ask for this baptism. Every converted believer has a right to ask. You have a right to ask for this baptism in the Holy Spirit as a child asks for what? Give me bread. Give me fish. You have the right to ask. As a child asks from his father or her father, you have the right to ask. Jesus definitely places an obligation upon the children of God to ask their heavenly Father specifically for this baptism in the Holy Spirit. So Luke 11 verse 13, he says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? It is therefore not scriptural for a Christian to assume or to assert that he or she has automatically received the baptism in the Holy Spirit at conversion without asking for it. Again, John 7 verse 38. Christ says, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. John 7 verse 38. In the first half of the next verse, these rivers of living water are interpreted by the writer of the gospel as referring to the Holy Spirit.
For he says, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. I find it very interesting here. Those who believing in him, alright, would receive. So the believers must ask for what? The baptism in the Holy Spirit. Or to receive the Holy Spirit. From the day of Pentecost onwards, it's called receiving the Holy Spirit. Right? That's why they ask you, have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Pentecost will ask that question. Right? Because it's after the day of Pentecost, it's always in the scripture you find baptism in the Holy Spirit is referred to as receiving the Holy Spirit. So, John interprets, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given. When was the Holy Spirit given? Acts chapter 2. Alright, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You get it? Huh? When the Holy Spirit fell upon them. From that day on, every believer, that's why he says, wait, tarry. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. So from that day on, every believer in Christ has the right to ask. Just as the Son asked the Father for bread, egg, for fish. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So after he was glorified, ascended into heaven, and then he pours out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. John chapter 7 verse 39. Now in both these verses, that is John 7 verse 38, John 7 39, it is clear that the gift of the Holy Spirit, bringing forth rivers of living water from within, is to be received by those who are already believers in Christ. It is something which they should go on to receive after believing in Christ. Now Jesus teaches the same truth again in John chapter 14 verses 15 to 18. This is what he says. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. So in this passage, the helper, the Spirit of truth. You see there? Helper, the Spirit of truth are two different designations of the same Holy Spirit. So Jesus teaches here that the gift of the Holy Spirit is not for the unbelieving people of this world, but for Christ's own disciples who love him and who obey him. And this confirms, therefore, that it is a privilege. It's a privilege of God's believing children, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, to go on to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as they meet God's conditions. What are God's conditions? If you love me, keep my commandments. Loving obedience, that's the key. Loving obedience to Christ is the key to receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't obey the Lord, let me tell you, you can't receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You can't receive baptism in the Holy Spirit without obedience. Loving obedience. You love the Lord, you'll obey him. You won't argue. Why should I get baptized? After all, I believe. After all, I received baptism when I was a little boy, a little girl. My parents did that for me. You know? You won't argue. You believe, you're baptized, and you ask for the Holy Spirit, you will receive. Very simple, actually. Very, very simple. Why is it that we complicate this? Huh? Why, Abel? Huh?
Satan blinds.
Yes.
You see, Satan blinds us from this truth. You know why? Because the moment you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you receive power. You receive power to do what? God's work. Satan doesn't want you to do God's work. He doesn't want you to do God's work. He'll let you do God's work in your own strength. He's very happy because he knows you'll be defeated. He can defeat you anytime. He can burn you out anytime. He's very happy. Alright, you want to do God's work? Go do God's work. He knows I'll knock this fellow down anytime. But to do the work of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, that he trembles. He trembles. You get what I'm saying? I hope this is becoming clear. I'm just trying to help you to understand the biblical basis for which you need to ask. You need to ask for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Please, please, please respond to what God is saying through his word. So ask yourself, have I truly received the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Have I truly received the baptism in the Holy Spirit? One of the evidences is very clear. The only evidence scripturally that the apostles accepted, and I believe is very clear even today. When you receive the Holy Spirit, when you receive the Holy Spirit, or when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will speak in tongues. Alright, number two. Do I truly long for this baptism? Do I really long for this baptism? If you're not serious, he's not going to give you. He's not going to give you. Am I living in loving obedience to Christ? Very important question. No arguments. You know, the other day, a person, young girl, received the Lord into her heart. She was from Hindu background. I told her only one thing. I said, see, this is not a religion. This is a relationship between you and God. This is not a religion. This is a relationship between you and God. Today, you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. How are you? How do you feel after that? She said, I'm at peace. She said, I'm at peace. I said, this is like a child being born. As you grow in intimacy with Christ, he will tell you to do certain things. Just like a parent will tell a child to do certain things. What must you do? Obey. Whatever he says, do it. I said, do you have a Bible? She said, no, I don't have Bible. So I showed her how you can get the Bible on the phone. Today, I tell you, you are so blessed. When I came to know the Lord, I had only one Bible, the King James Version, which I just could not understand. I just couldn't. Before I came to Christ, I used to read that Bible to go to sleep. Because when I would read King James Version, I could go to sleep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, whom I don't want. That's how I understood. I couldn't understand. So before going to sleep, trying to go to sleep, nights sometimes no sleep. Because all rebellion, you know, all kinds of anger, hatred, all kinds of problems I was going through. So no sleep at night. So to go to sleep, I'll take the Bible, I'll read. And as I read, I don't understand, so I fall asleep. I put the Bible under the pillow and go to sleep. Never understood. Today, you can't understand Queen's English, no problem. You have layman's English. So many versions are available where? On this gadget. On this tiny little gadget. So I told her, this is how you can get this app. You download it. There's so many versions. She looked at it and she's shocked. Because there's so, in every language available. Any language under the sun available. You look and you read. You're reading God's word. Then I told her one day, I said, when you read God's word, God will speak to you. Now that you have received Christ into your heart, God will speak to you. Whatever he tells you, obey. Whatever he tells you, obey. She nodded her head, she went. Now, I don't know whether she will obey. I don't know. Because there are many believers who don't obey. Alright? But ask yourself, do I truly long for this baptism? Am I living in loving obedience to Christ?
in loving obedience to Christ. This morning, one lady came up and she said, I've been hearing the messages, I've been hearing the recordings, I've been hearing, and I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized. I said, I baptize you. No problem, I baptize you. How does it happen? You hear the word, you listen to what God is saying, you obey. That's it. That's it. You obey, what happens? Simple question. Parents, when children obey, are you happy or are you unhappy? Diana, you tell me. When you obey Reuben, is Dada happy? He's happy, no? When you disobey, what happens? Huh? He'll be mad, no? How much God has to get mad at us? Because most of the time, yeah, not obey, we're disobedient children. Isn't it? But he's so merciful, no? So kind. So merciful, so loving, so kind. Just imagine if you just obey whatever he says. That's how you delight. That's how he begins to delight in you. Parents delight in children who obey. Parents delight in children who obey. How much more our Heavenly Father delights when we listen to him, we obey. When you obey, what happens? He'll give you more blessing. Yes or no? Huh? Right. You receive more blessing when you obey. Same way here. You want to be blessed spiritually. You want to be abundantly blessed with the power and the presence of God in your life. Simple. Very simple. Just be obedient. That's it. So, do I truly long for this baptism? Am I living in loving obedience to Christ? Am I asking God the Father through God the Son to baptize me in the Holy Spirit? I hope you realize the seriousness of this. Because without this, you will experience a lot of burnouts. Why burnout? Doing God's work. Why not just delight in the Lord? Because he'll give you the desires of your heart. If you delight in the Lord, what will happen? He'll give you the desires of your heart. Because you want to obey him. Shall we pray? I'll close here now. Next time we'll continue. Alright? In the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Alex, will you lead us in prayer, please? Heavenly Father.